first, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Flip over to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is a picture of community with power, community that makes a difference. Let's pray together. God, I ask this morning, would you open our hearts, open our ears to hear truth? God, even as I speak today, I pray that you would help in individuals' hearts to discern between what are my words and what are your words. God, I pray that only your words would have true power and authority today. Would you open our hearts to hear what you have to say? Challenge us, God, where we need to be challenged. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And I pray that we would be the community that you desire us to be. We would be a reflection of the community that was seen in the early church, and ultimately that is seen in the relationship in the Trinity. May you be honored today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we want to look very quickly this morning at how community can make a difference. So community makes a difference when, number one, when we make time and space for each other. It's amazing how in modern day times, despite being surrounded by more people in closer proximity than ever before, we live in a culture that is increasingly lonely. Statistics show sharply increasing percentages of people who struggle with feelings of isolation, aloneness, and feeling like they have no one who is a true friend or knows them as a person. Despite the fact that half the people in this gym right now could instantly go online and be connected to a lot of friends, there are a lot who are still incredibly lonely. Feel incredibly disconnected. Acts chapter 2, 46 said this of the early church. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Members of the early church made room for each other. They made time for each other. This is a conscious decision. Culturally, we don't do this well at all. We are not good at making time for others. We have often bought into this concept of the need to be busy, that if I'm going to be important, I need to be busy. I need to be doing something. I need something to be doing. Time is our most valuable resource that we own. This time that they gave every day to each other was not to receive simply for themselves, but rather it was a time for others. Community that makes a difference is marked by people who make time and space to focus on others and invest into others. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers us up. If you are looking for true, powerful community, you are not going to find it if you do not give the space in your life for that community to exist. That community is not going to hunt you down. It is not going to force its way into your life. You need to make room for it. You need to give opportunity for others to take your time, to have your time. Two principles that are important in being able to make time and space in our lives. The first principle is this: be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. To make room for community means you're making room for others to speak into your lives. If you are constantly talking, there's not an opportunity for someone to speak. This would be a great excerpt for a funny husband and wife joke. Not going to do it. I'm going to avoid temptation, and I'm going to keep peace in my home. Be slow to speak. Make room. And then principle two, be gentle in your speech. Don't be quick to judge. Making time and space means we're making opportunity for others to have insight, for others to have things to contribute beyond just simply what we think. You know that scientifically you can listen 3 times faster than you can speak. Take that ratio into account in your relationships. Make time and space for each other. If you have been involved in this church or other churches and have complained about the lack of community, the lack of connection, I'm going to ask you, how much time have you made for others to have that in your life? How much openness have you given? How much of your time is designated to be open for community to be built? If you simply come to church on Sunday morning and you leave after the message is done, and that's it for the week, you are not going to experience community because you haven't given any time for it. You haven't given any space for it. Community makes a difference when we give time and space for each other. Secondly, we see that community makes a difference when we have transparency and intimacy instead of shallowness. Shallow words accomplish little. Death words discourage, but life words encourage and build up. I don't think any of us intentionally desire to have shallow relationships. It's not our goal. It's not what we set out for. I believe that within each one of us, there is an innate desire to have intimacy. God's made us that way. So there is constantly a longing for it. But many do not experience it. What is it that keeps us from having the intimacy that we so desire, from having that closeness that we so long for? Why are there so many in our culture, so many in our churches that lack that true intimacy and connection, that true community? One of the big things, I believe, is fear. The root of our fear, fear itself is like a kryptonite to intimacy. Larry Crabb says this: the root of our fear is an understanding, however primitive, that we are not acceptable and that exposure of who we really are will bring rejection. Intimacy brings intimacy. If you are a person who is able to be open and to be vulnerable, it draws vulnerability from others. Scripture itself talks about how perfect love casts out fear. When we live in fear and our relationships are spawned out of fear, intimacy is not going to be reached. Because fear will always keep things superficial, because it will always keep everyone at arm's length, because then they can't hurt me. Perfect love casts out fear. A community that makes a difference is a community that responds out of love, not out of fear. A second thing that can keep people from experiencing intimacy in their relationships is laziness and self-centeredness. This results in what I call fake intimacy. You can see fake intimacy all over the place. It's often seen on social media platforms where there is zero investment in the relationship, but lots being expressed. I can give you a great example of what happens oftentimes in churches that can resemble this, of laziness, is when you hear of someone who has a sincere, deep need that is going through an incredibly deep trial, and they share this with you heartbroken in tears, and your response is, "I'll pray for you." There's nothing wrong with prayer. In fact, that's the most powerful thing you can do. But sometimes in church community, can I just be real with you? Sometimes we say that, and all that is, "I don't want to get into this. This is too dirty and messy for me." Our own laziness keeps us from having intimacy. We don't want to get into the messiness of other people's lives. Fake intimacy requires very little from me. I can have 1,000 friends on Facebook and they don't really require any of my time. All I need to do is occasionally I'll go on, I'll like one of their pictures or one of their statuses. I'll say something cool like, "Way to go, girl. Smiley face. Thumbs up." If in a relationship requires little to no investment, it's probably because there's little to no relationship. If we choose to simply give cliche answers instead of investing ourselves into people's lives, we will never experience true intimacy. And with that, we will never know the power of true community as God intended us to experience it. We need to go beyond simply speaking about the weather or our favorite sports team or asking the patent question, "How are you doing today?" and responding, "Good." True community goes beyond that. And it is willing to go into the muck and mire of each other's lives to do as the scripture says, of bearing each other's burdens. That's the mark of true intimacy, true community, true relationship. The solution to this we see Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Philippians 2:3-4 says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." Nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. "Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." From these two verses, we see Paul's solution to the problem is not simply to throw off inhibition or simply expose all our problems and talk about how horrible our lives are. Rather, he instructs us to understand the fears and defenses and needs of other people and to become committed not to sharing ourselves, not to just talking about doom and gloom, but rather to sharing the Lord by ministering to those needs. It's about living in the reality of where each other is at. It's about willing to get messy with them, arms deep, but not simply stay there. Not simply talking about how horrible life is, but being willing to meet each other where they're at in each other's pain and minister the Lord to them. To resonate with their heart and to speak truth. That's powerful community. True intimacy and true community requires a common bond. It requires something that holds us together no matter what our circumstances will be, no matter what our failures will be, that it holds us together. Authenticity itself is only truly found in our common bond of our journey to maturity in Christ. ECC family, that is what holds us together. That is why we are here. That is why we have community. Not because we want more friends. Not because we want something to do. Not because people are nice, or they look like me, or talk like me, or dress like me. Or because they have the same taste in whatever it is that I like. But it is our common bond and our journey towards maturity in Christ that is what centralizes us and holds us together. That's how I can stand shoulder to shoulder, side by side with someone who thinks completely different than I do, who has different likes than I do, has different dislikes, but we can stand united and I can support them, that I can love them, that I can have true community with them. That's why you can join a small group and be with someone who you would never hang out with normally, and you can be completely connected. You can be, as Proverbs talks about, that iron that sharpens iron, encouraging one another. Perhaps for some of you, that means, even as you heard about Wouter talking about his senior group, aged with wisdom, that you're 23, that you can still be a part of that group. In fact, I know they want you, because you have that common bond. That's what holds us together. That's what gives the platform to begin to form true community, not surface community. So most importantly, of all the points this morning, number three, we are rooted in Christ. True community is powerful when we are rooted in Christ. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The word koinonia, a Greek word, is often used and spoken in churches. It means our shared life in Christ. To have just sharing as commonly understood places a premium on emotional honesty without the framework of commitment to God and to others' welfare. This is a serious problem. If we simply are joined together because we like the same things, we are on thin ice. When we aren't emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually honest with each other, with the framework of our common faith to be able to hold us together, we are simply doing surface community. There's nothing real there, and you will not experience you will not be able to reach the longing that you have inside of you for true community. Oftentimes we have cheapened the idea of sharing with each other to where sharing simply now means exhibiting ourselves rather to demonstrate than demonstrating Christ in ourselves. That may sound really confusing. It's probably because it was a horribly written sentence, and I'm just going to clarify it now. Sometimes in an effort to ourselves make community, we feel that if we're simply open and honest, if we share everything about ourselves, that that will bring community, and the truth is it doesn't. Simply being honest about your faults and your failures and your weaknesses actually doesn't bring community. Sometimes this happens, and we almost praise our weakness. And as Christians, we sometimes get confused and we think that that's a good thing to praise our weakness. Because we will go, well, Jesus kind of talked about that. No, Jesus talked about his strength in our weakness, and that is what we long for. Not that we're praising simply that we're weak, but rather our weakness can point towards his strength. But if we take Christ out of the equation and simply make it that we have a community where I can be really honest and I can talk about how I really stink at life, that's going to be something that's really going to be life-giving. It's not. Because what you're going to be left with is you're going to be left with a group of people who all think they stink and aren't any good, but don't know how to get anywhere. And off the top, it kind of feels good to know someone else struggles like I do. And there's a little bit of solace, there's a little bit of peace that comes with that. But long term, if I'm stuck in a hole and all I have is four other people who are stuck in the same hole, and all we do is talk about how we're in this hole, and we're still in the hole and don't know how to get out of the hole, so let's just talk more about the hole. Anybody getting tired of hearing hole already? That's not what biblical community was talking about. We don't rejoice in our weaknesses. We rejoice in our weakness because his strength comes in it. And if we take Christ out of the equation, it's empty. It's vain. It's lifeless. And perhaps for you, you have tried to make yourself a community by simply being honest about your weakness. I say good on you for having the courage to do that. But if that's all you get to, you're never going to grow. You're never going to be content. And you're constantly going to be restless. And the reason why is because all you're going to be able to talk about is your hole. And that's not what Christ designed you for. Rather, it is our joint connection of being rooted in Christ and allowing Christ to be transformative in our community and relationships. We need to define authenticity as making something known to another that reveals where you are on your journey towards Christ's likeness and invites, meaning neither expects or demands, but invites another to walk together with you towards a mutual goal of maturity. That's authenticity. I'm going to say that again. Define authenticity as making something known in your life to another person that reveals where you are on your journey toward Christ's likeness. So being honest, being transparent, but not simply for the sake of being transparent, but being honest and transparent in your journey towards Christ's likeness and inviting someone else to walk together with you towards a mutual goal of maturity. Of going, hey, I struggle with this. I'm in the hole. You're in the hole. Let's work together because this isn't where Christ has called us to. And let's get out of this. Going towards maturity. If our relationships are not reaching towards maturity in Christ, then you are not living true, authentic transparency and true, authentic community in your life. Fourth thing that defines true community, rooted in Christ, is we extend generosity to each other. We've got a quick video, if we can play that really quick in the back.
People ask me all the time, Michael, what was your big break?
Our next guest is performed on Comedy Central's Premium Blend.
He made his first appearance on The Tonight Show from Montreal Comedy Festival.
You've seen him on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
That wasn't a big break. The big break was at a club. And right before I got on stage, I had a change in mindset about comedy. Normally when a comedian gets on stage, he wants to get laughs from people. And I felt a little shift take place where I felt like I was to go up there and give them an opportunity to laugh. Now I'm not looking to take, I'm looking for an opportunity to give. This changed everything.
My name is Michael Jr. I'm gonna do some jokes. And ultrasounds come in color now, which is ridiculous. I know it's a black baby. It better be a black baby.
I leave the club that night, and there's all these people giving me hugs and high fives, telling me their favorite jokes. Then I look across the street, and I saw a homeless guy. And I thought to myself, what about him? Most comedy, most jokes are set up.
My son, 4 years old, looks at me out of nowhere. And he says, Dad, I want to be a doctor. I was like, yes, yes.
And then a punchline.
Then he said, or a dinosaur.
I understand that me doing comedy and doing all of these TV shows and making all these people laugh is really just a setup. My punchline is to make laughter commonplace in uncommon places. We go to Montrose, Colorado, a place called the Dolphin House. They take care of children who have been abused by their parents. And this grandmother explains to me that her grandson is being abused by his mom. He's so afraid of his mom that everywhere he goes, he wears a Spider-Man costume. So I get on stage, sitting right up front, Spider-Man. I start doing comedy. People start laughing, slowly but surely. Probably about 25 minutes into it, I hear a voice. And the voice says, my name is Ronan. And this little boy pulls off his mask. And it was one of the most powerful moments in my entire comedy career. If we could just stop asking the question, what could I get for myself? And start asking the question, what can I give from myself? I think people would learn that you don't have to be a comedian to deliver a punchline. It's really what I want to get across to people. And I think I just did.
That's kind of
right. I looked at the camera again. I don't know if I was supposed to do
that. Part of the natural outflow of a Christ follower who lives Christ-centered, Christ-rooted relationships is we live out generosity. That's a natural outflow. Acts 2:44 and 45 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Acts 4:32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. If you look at these verses closely, this was not something that was compulsory. It was not something that was demanded that they had to, but they chose out of their own free will, because the reality is when we have true Christ-rooted, Christ-centered relationships, it transforms us, and generosity naturally flows out of us. Generosity is never anything that's demanded. It is something that comes out. The generosity can be, in this occasion, it was with their property, with their possessions that they gave, but generosity is with so much more than simply possessions. It can be a simple act of encouragement. Larry Crabb says this, remember, the power of encouragement does not lie primarily in words. It lies in the motivation behind the words. If we attend to commonplace interactions with a sensitive ear, putting others first, giving time and space, ministry-motivated mind, centering in Christ, a loving heart, we will not lack for opportunities to encourage. Being generous is living in such a way that we focus on others instead of just ourselves. It naturally changes us from the self-centered people that we are to the Christ-centered people who care and love for others that Christ desires us to be. We each can come with our gift that we offer. When you come here on a Sunday, you don't simply come to receive. You come here to minister. And if you're not in that mind space, I need to challenge you on that. If you simply came here this morning to receive because you wanted to hear nice music and you wanted to hear a good message, that's not what you're here for. You're here because you have something to give. Yes, God's going to impart something into you, but you have something to contribute. God designed us that way. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. That's encouragement, encourage. If you have a gift of hospitality, do that. Have people over to your home. Bake, cook, call me and do those things for me. If you have particular giftings and skills, if you're a trades guy, if you have any type, if you're good at looking after kids, you love to look after kids, whatever gift you have, use it. Use it to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What God has given you was not intended simply for you to serve yourself. It was not intended simply for you to serve yourself and your family. It was intended for you to serve others with. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Those verses go on to say, another by faith the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still others the interpretation of tongues. All these are to work of one and the same Spirit as He distributes to each one of them just as He determines. Whatever gifts you have, spiritual gifts, natural gifts, those are meant for you to be serving others with. And can I challenge you, if you are honest with yourself and you're not using those to serve anything but your own means, I can pretty much guarantee you are also stagnant in your growth in Christ. Because generosity is a natural outflow of a life that is growing in Christ. It is the natural outflow of when Christ is the root, is the center of our life and our relationships. But when it is anything else, then selfish motivations come in. Finally, this morning, quickly, point number 5. We live true, authentic community. An authentic community has power when we live in unity with each other. There's a few verses that are on there. I'm not going to speak to those, but you can write those down if you want. Acts 4:32 says this, all the believers were one in heart and mind. They were one in heart and mind. Pastor Marlo spoke a great message on unity last week, and so I'm not going to elaborate too much. But one in heart and mind. Ephesians 4:29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This means we put priority on others rather than ourselves. Not just doing for others, but genuinely caring. I can't emphasize this enough. It's not simply about doing works for other people. It is allowing Christ to transform us, to change our perspective so that we can get into the muck and mire of others, genuinely caring about them because Christ does. And for their needs and their welfare. Can I challenge you? If you are desiring true community, which is what our heart and desire is for Eaglemont Christian Church, is that this is a place where true community exists. It is not simply about asking cliche questions or sharing surface emotions. It is not about hearing someone's story and going, oh, that's so sad. Sharing feelings without a prior and overriding commitment to the welfare of the other leads to disunity, not unity. Because the reality is, if you make comments but are not willing to invest into someone else's life, it is the most uncaring thing you can do. Without a solid foundation of commitment, restraining oneself in the interest of another's welfare, sharing feelings amounts to nothing more than falsely courageous self-centeredness. This total solution to surface community is total commitment to the goal of ministry. As Christ followers, we say that Christ is at the center of our lives. It is allowing Christ to be at the center of our relationships. That when we talk to one another, whether it's at coffee time, whether it's in our small groups, whether it's during the week, it's not about what I get from that relationship. But I come recognizing that God has put in me, as lowly as I may feel about myself, something that I have to give to others. To come to support and care and build up another. When Jesus described how we would be known as his followers, he did not say, you would know that they are my followers by the great miracles that they will perform. He did not say, you will know that they are my followers by the gigantic churches that they will have, nor the prophetic messages that they will give, nor the popularity that they would have. But he said, you will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That is the marking of someone who has Christ at the center of their life. So when we talk about community and the true power of community, is Christ at the center? Is he at the core? If any other motivation has gotten in there, you are not going to experience true, powerful community. You are going to experience surface level, completely shallow community. So I want to encourage you, as we're going to be closing in a moment, each person that's here this morning, right now you're probably thinking about getting to your car, getting home, getting the kids fed, getting lunch. Can we change that mindset, as that video was talking about? So he talked about the usual desire to get laughs instead of giving an opportunity to laugh. What can you give an opportunity for someone else to do today? Through genuine relationship and encouragement. The reality is if it's only on a Sunday, it's never going to go far. It's a start. The reason why we do small groups is because it's such a great opportunity for you to experience what true community is like, to be able to get into other people's lives and allow them to get into yours, to be real with each other, and to have Christ at the center. If you have not signed up for a small group, honestly, I'd be so bold to say you really can't complain about not experiencing community in this church. Because you need to invest yourself. And I don't say that to lay a guilt trip. I'm just being honest. You've got to make time and space. When we conclude this morning and I finish praying, if you bolt for the doors, you can't leave and complain about how no one talked to you and no one cared about you. People who have been here for a long time and you have lots of friends, if all you do is you go to the people that you already know that are safe but never invest into other people, you're being selfish yourself. Generosity means recognizing that I've got a gift to give to others around me and not just the people that I know really well that are safe to me. I have something to give to people that I don't know well. That's how we'll experience true community. And that, people, is incredibly powerful and incredibly transforming in your life. I ask if you'll stand with me. I'm going to ask if you'll close your eyes. I wasn't really planning on doing this, but I just sense in my heart that there's some people here that you've actually become bitter, even bitter at some people in this church because you feel like you haven't been accepted. You haven't been accepted in your own eyes. You feel like you've been slighted. And you've allowed that bitterness to actually come into you, and it's kept you from building relationships. And you've distanced yourself. God wants to bring healing to that, but he also wants you to repent of that. He wants you to confess it and let it go. So no one's looking, but I do this because I really sense on my heart. I'm going to pray, and if that's you, I want you to take your hand out with a fist, and as you let that go, I want you just to open your hand to release that to God. Say, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to live that way. I want to let those individuals go. I want to let those relationships go that I've allowed to taint my heart and keep me from having community. God, as we pray this morning, I know that your desire for us is to experience oneness, to be of one heart, of one mind, to experience the life that comes from true community. And I ask this morning, for those of us perhaps that hasn't been our experience, God, I pray for healing in their hearts. Lord, for those who have, for whatever reason, felt slighted, God, I pray that, Lord, they wouldn't take on the guilt of personal issues. They wouldn't take on the bitterness of putting other issues. But instead, what they would do is they would take on, Lord, your call, your true heart in being a generous person in their relationships and extending generosity instead of extending coldness. I pray that this church community would transform each other and this greater community of Beaumont as you are at our center. I pray for those who have been waiting and sitting on the fence about small groups, who have been thinking of the excuses of why they can't. God, I pray right now, would you solidify that in their hearts? Not a pressure of any person, but Lord, I know that there are people here today who you want and you are putting on their heart to engage. I pray that you would give them boldness and courage to do that. And may we together experience the true power of community. May we experience the transformation in our own lives as we have iron that sharpens iron. And grow more and more in maturity and Christ-likeness. Bless each one as they go this week. wherever we are, use us in that way. May we be authentic people, real people, and bring change to those around us simply by living Christ out. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you go this morning, small group leaders are going to be at their tables. Take advantage. Go sign up. If you haven't signed up for a group, or even if you just want to ask a question about what a group's doing, go talk to them. God bless you this week.